there, Psalm 33, verse 12. 4 years ago, Brianne came to us via the college tour group of Crown College down in, where's that at? Huh? Tennessee. Amen. And anyway, he called me up about 6 months ago, said, what's going on? I said, hey, you know, serving the Lord here. He says, I'm just thinking about coming up to your church, and just, I liked your church when we came by, and with our tour group, I just like to come up here and serve here for a while. And I said, come on! Come on. And then she brought that trumpet. That is the king's instrument. And thank God for that. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles again today and turn to Psalm 33, verse 12. We'll be basing our scriptures from that this morning. During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies of Great Britain occurred on July the 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed on June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent of Great Britain. That was a big step. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this discussion, which had been prepared at a committee of five, Thomas Jefferson as the principal author. Congress debated and revised the Declaration and finally approved it on July 4th. John Adams had written his wife Abigail. He wrote this. He said, the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated by a day of deliverance, by a solemn act of devotion to Almighty God. It ought to solemnize by pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, yes, bells, bonfires, illuminations, and from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forever, forevermore. And Adam's prediction was off 2 days from the onset of the American electing independence on July 4th, the date showing the most publicized Declaration of Independence rather than the second, the day of the resolution. Independence was approved in a closed session of Congress. There's no question that July 4th is the date that Congress approved that final official document, which we enjoy. And after voting, declared the independence 2 days later. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin all later wrote that they had also signed on that day, the 4th. I was reading a poem the other day, and it reminded me of this, and it was written by Dr. Jack Hiles back in, 1977. Monday morning, he's waiting to start pastor school, and thousands of preachers would come and listen to him preach, and he was going to preach about America, and he wrote this poem called I Love America. It's one of my favorite. I love Thanksgiving when we pray, and 4th of July and Labor Day, with picnics, ants, and hungry flies, and barbecue and hot French fries, with Cokes and chips and apple pies beneath some lazy, hazy skies. I love Miami's royal palm that oozes forth a healing balm beside the ocean quiet calm, and Betsy Ross and Orville Wright, and dear Ben Franklin's flying kite, and Thomas Jefferson's mighty quill, the Alamo and Bunker Hill, and Paul Revere's midnight rise, and Wilbur Wright's successful flight. I love United friendly skies, and baseball when the umpire cries, play ball, and 1,000 quietly rise, and turn their moistened, somber eyes toward the waving flag that proudly flies, and Casey Stengel's Stangalese, and Dairy Queen and Tasty Freeze, and cotton candy at the zoo, and corner dogs and corny dogs, and Big Macs too, and Burger Kings and shopping malls and hockey pucks and baseballs and Mississippi cotton field and Holland, Michigan spinning wheels, monstrous and monotonous Midwestern plains and Florida's sun and Seattle's rains. Atlanta's lovely dogwood trails and Santa Fe's long clicking rails. I love the Rocky Mountain peaks beneath the skies which mutterly speaks. And Disney World and Disneyland and Georgia's fertile red, blood-red sand and Mississippi and the Rio Grande, Wisconsin cheese and Dairyland. I love McDonald's chocolate shakes and Minnesota's thousand lakes, the Royal Gorge mighty yawn and sleepy Alabama dawn, the harvest moon that shineth on. I love the gaze at Yellowstone while licking on an ice cream cone and Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge and Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge. I love stately Empire State and San Francisco's Golden Gate. I love St. Louis's friendly arch, the Statue of Liberty's burning torch, the Washington Monument's prickly gourd, and Colorado's Trail Ridge Road. I love my country, 'tis of thee, O blessed land of liberty, long may our glorious land be bright with freedom's wondrous holy light. Protect us by thy matchless might. I love to stand with hand or heart and think of those who did their part and left a mom a lone gold star whose body rests neath fields afar. I love New England's rolling farms, its quaint decor and blushing charm. I love the azalea's freshness bloomed, East Texas roses sparkling plume. I love it when my church choir sings and know the peace that worship brings. There beats within my breast a dream that the small, faint, and flickering gleam will soon become the mighty flame that spreads to all his matchless name. That's that those who call me dad will know the country that I had, where freedom's flag flies proudly and high, and those dear ones may loudly cry, I'm free, my dad made it so. That faint small gleam is now to glow that Christian land that we once knew. I know the kind that it we know too. God's judging hand has now been stayed, and I and mine are not afraid. For churches like ours own abound in every city, village, and town. We're free to witness, visit, and teach the same dear truth we heard Dad preach. And now we vow to God above to pass it on to those we love. Dr. Jack Hiles. I think sometimes when you read those things, I know I get a little tender and think of America that we grew up in. Someone asked me the other day, we were talking about this, and said, there's such a difference between when I grew up and our kids are growing up. And I was thinking that when he said it, I thought of, when I grew up, you never took the keys out of your car. You never took your keys out of the truck. You left the tractor out in the field where you would go back and get into it and keep going, You never had to lock up the anhydrous so some idiot would get in there and steal it to make methamphetamines, We didn't have to worry about people planting marijuana down our cornfield. We didn't have to worry about that. In fact, we didn't know what marijuana was. And we thought dope was some guy that wasn't too bright. Amen. And our lives have changed. We didn't lock up our gas tanks. I remember one time, I was in 1966, I ran out of gas in my car, walked up a farmyard, there and over there, I whistled and hollered over there, and went over and took 5 gallon gas out of their tank and went and filled it up, and I put $5, I was a big spender back in those days because the gas was 19 cents a gallon, amen. We've changed, a lot of things have changed in our lives. A lot of things we didn't have to worry about. We lived in peace. We didn't live in terror. We didn't think about anybody to ever do anything like they did just back in 9/11. But I want to remind you. I want to remind you how good we've got it though. The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen his own inheritance. Then the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation. Listen to me. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me remind you that the way of greatness to America is not found in its avenues or some of her political politicians or that are actively pursuing, but is found simply in the statement of the Word of God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There are several things I think that make America great. Number one, God has given her a good form of government. So we may not always use as we should, it is the best potential. We have free democracy, and over 200 years ago, the United States of America has been a nation. The government of every large nation have changed, but America has not. Yet America's government, despite its attack upon it, is still the same. Declaration of Independence, Constitution is still guarding our country. Thank God for that. Amen. Secondly, God has also chosen America's freedom of speech and press. What a wonderful thing. I can come to this platform and preach what I believe this Bible says, whatever I want to, whenever I want to. You all just got to come, amen. And I can speak the convictions of my heart. I don't have to worry about my friend sheriffs coming in here or policemen coming in here and locking me up. That's a blessing, amen. Editors of the paper, they can write what they wish in their columns. They can downgrade America if they wish. They have the freedom. Our form of government has given us the freedom to all. I used to get so upset on Easter of all Sundays, that they'd go out and protest on our gates of Maryland Air Force Base. Man, that used to honk me off. Now, what are you doing? And I was reminded by one of the officers says, you know, they have the right. And he says, that's why we're fighting for the right to protest and complain. Amen. If I was a preacher in Russia or China today and went to the pulpit and said the things I wanted to say, the secret police would take me away and place me in some concentration camp, put me in some place in Siberia that I wouldn't be seen again. Only God knows what would happen to me. Yes, God has blessed America. And America is great because we have the freedom of speech and we have freedom of religion. God has given us this freedom of religion. Whatever your beliefs, no matter, no one can close your church. Even the homosexual can have a church by the freedom given to them in America. They can call it a homosexual church, and that's certainly far from the Bible. But they do have the freedom. They do have the freedom of that. And God has given them free will. They can do what they want. They will pay for it someday. God says it's an abomination unto him. But they have every right they have. And yet in America, we still have this religious freedom. Do you ever hear how that we got the freedom? A humble Baptist preacher named Roger Williams was persecuted for his belief in America. Yes, persecuted. And he fled to a little-known state called Rhode Island. And there he was given the opportunity to have that state, and there he founded the city of Providence. And in the constitution of that state, the Baptist preacher wrote, every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. Amen. Amen. He wasn't restricting anybody else. He just said, this is what we want to do, and let us do it and leave us alone. That's all it's about. And when Thomas Jefferson and those were forming the Constitution of the United States, they borrowed these principles and inserted them in part of the United States Constitution. Yes, they came from a humble little old Baptist preacher named Roger Williams. Yes, God had given us religious freedom in America. For religious freedom is not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. And God has given her the separation of church and state. And many, many Americans, you don't understand that expression. It means that no particular church or religion is accepted as the state church. That's all that means. That wasn't an idea of keeping God out of our country. Hey, hello, look at your quarters. I know they're trying to take it off, but in God we Trust. Look at the Indiana State license plate. I was so shocked. In God we trust, right on their license plate. There are people out there that still love God. Amen. And we're this whole idea of separation of church and state was that you are not going to make me be a Lutheran, like in Norway. In Norway, the state religion is Lutheran. And when you pay your taxes, you pay your taxes toward the Lutheran church, and the Lutheran pastors are employees of the Norwegian government. And they have to take 6 weeks vacation. Yes! It was separation that you would not be, for instance, Iran. They do not have separation church and state. You are going to be a Muslim or we will destroy you. We will kill you. That's a difference. And America was never set up. Never, never, never set up that you couldn't be religious. Never, never set up that you couldn't be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Mormon or whatever. Never set up that way. We had the freedom of religion. You can do whatever you want. You can preach whatever you want, as long as you do it in order. It means that no particular church is accepted as the state church. Citizens of the country are not forced to pay taxes to support the state church. We have no state religion in America. That is what separation church and state means. That's all it means. That's all it means. And we've got some problems out there today. Because some people are trying to figure out some way to get rid of the Christian. Not any Christian influence. Separation church and state does not mean that Christians are not to be interested in politics. Our Constitution gives us the God-given right to be interested in politics and to be out there doing your thing, amen. Of course, today, government said you cannot support or endorse a candidate from your pulpit. Our Constitution gives us the responsibility to vote. When it comes time to elect the officials of our federal, state, city, and county, every believer needs to, and every believer should exercise his God-given right. If you are not signed up to vote this fall, hello, you better sign up. Very prayerfully. When you vote, don't call your preacher and say, who should I vote for? I got some people calling. I said, preacher, what do you think? I said, hey, that's your job. Hopefully, you've heard enough doctrine and teaching the Word of God that you would not want to do something. And unfortunately, in America, sometimes you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Now, I mean evils, but anyway. It bothers me that we have neglected the opportunity, in many cases, have allowed the wrong man or wrong woman in the office. God has given us some born-again, blood-washed believers who have a skin of a rhinoceros and a backbone made of iron and will of steel, who will govern by biblical principles, who will stand up for those, for that which is right and go against that which is wrong. And there are still a few people out there like that. You got to read and decipher and make sure. The other day I saw a candidate had his hand on our President Obama, had his hand here, and had his other hand here. Well, everybody knows that the man who was shaking hands with, his left hand, has three fingers missing from him. Somebody has superimposed that and putting out bad literature and saying that, you know, he's in President Obama's back pocket. That's not true. And it makes me very upset that people can get away with that. In fact, I just got my hair cut in the same shop that he was getting his hair cut in. And sure enough, he's only got two fingers. He got a thumb and a little finger. And this is the way it was. And you could, but the funniest thing about it, this hand was so huge on President Obama's shoulder, and this hand was so small, you just, man, that's got to be a fake picture. And then when you really look close, he had all fingers, all of his fingers. He had the right face, but wrong hand. Something happened there. I don't know if he got healed or whatever. Amen. God has given us a country where everybody has a chance. Henry Ford. Anybody know Henry Ford? Some of you are still driving some of his stuff. Almost said junk, but that would be very nice. Fix or repair daily? I think that somebody said it. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. If it runs, man, get in it and drive it like you stole it. But anyway, Henry Ford once said that a group of young men said this to a group of young men. There is no such thing as no chance. Thank God for America. Any poor boy who has a dream can be something in America. Amen. It's a great place to live. I'm just back from Nepal. I'll tell you what, buddy. I'll tell you what. I'm glad I'm in America. I know these folks live over there. Sometimes they get up to 14 hours electricity a day. Sometimes less. They have to buy distilled water. You're at risk every time you take a shower to get something in your mouth. You wish you wouldn't have got something in your mouth. You're at risk every time you sit down to eat. I love America. I mean, I do. I'm thanking God for America. But I'll tell you, if you really go back and really figure it out, it was started on biblical Judeo-Christian ethics. Judeo, of course, Hebrew, Jewish, and Christian ethics of cleanliness and being honest. And being our weights, making sure that they're all the same, measures all the same. That's why when you go to the gas pump and you see that little sticker on it, so they've checked that thing out. It's good for so-and-so. Those are part of the things. I heard the story of B.R. Lakin, who's a great old evangelist preacher down south. He said, I plowed with a mule on the farm, looking up to heaven, with tears cursing down my cheek. I said, dear God, someday I'll be something. Someday I'll be something. And that great preacher crisscrossed America and preached in every state in the Union. And in his words, like a little plowboy out in a corn row, plowing the preaching the Word of God. Thomas Edison was a poor, poor, poor boy. But today, the whole world uses at least 1,150 inventions that came to his mind and went to his hands. Yes, America, every boy has a chance. Everybody has a chance. Every girl has a chance. No matter who you are, no matter what your education background, if you are a fellow that means business, you've got a chance in America. Amen. By the way, that's why people are trying to come here. You don't see too many people escaping America. Amen. Well, I got to escape out of America. No, they keep coming here. No, you can't come. There's not enough room. Oh, come on. You know. It's a great country. Only trouble is, when you come to our country, you become an American. Don't bring your junk with you. Don't bring your junk that didn't work at your country. Don't bring it here. Hello? Why'd you escape your country and then you want to bring it here? You want to bring your dress here? You want to bring your languages here? Hey, you know what? I believe, just like my great-grandparents came from Switzerland and they had to learn English, you know what? You ought to learn English. Everything ought to be English. You know, you go to Russia, not too many places have things written in English for you. You ought to learn English. You come here legally. In the 1800s, someone made a suggestion they close the patent office because everything that had been invented was invented. That was 1800, before automobiles, telephone, telegraph, telewoman, I know you knew I wanted to say that. Tell a man, I'll tell you what, the biggest gossips in the world are men, not women. I don't care what you say. It's my turn to preach or not. Enjoy yourself, amen. Before thousands and so many other things, what would we do with our cell phones? Probably have less crashes, but anyway. Our texting. By the way, your preacher likes texting first time, then after that we're going to talk. 4,000 and thousands of other things. Certain things we just feel that we cannot live without. Air conditioning. America, what a land of opportunity. Say what you will about it. I love America. I still cry when the Star Spangled Banner is sung. I still stand up tall and straight, and sometimes something wells up in my heart when I salute that flag by putting my right hand over my heart. I appreciate, I love, I enjoy, I crave America. I don't care how many times I've been out of the country. It's sure good to come back. And I like what that guy says, stamping my passport. Welcome home. There's nothing more sweet to hear, especially if you're coming out of Mexico. Amen. God has blessed America. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. What a country we've got. We ought to love it. We ought to stand up for it. We ought to do everything we can to keep it pure and speak out every time something goes wrong and commend and applaud those who do things right. Every soldier you see, you ought to come up to them and thank them for the service. I try that real hard, especially when I'm in the airport. When I see them ordering, I try to get up beside them and say, I'd like to pay for your order. There are men and women that have sacrificed their life for our country. Thomas Edison said, when you become unthankful, you're pretty near gone. We ought to be thankful. Every chance you get to go to a parade, you'll go to a parade. Every chance you got to wave a flag, you ought to wave that flag. Every chance you get to honor those who have served before you, you ought to honor them and thank them. Praise God for America. What a country we've got. We ought to love it and stand for it. Do what we can to preserve the freedoms that we have in America. Even if we have to stand up when all things look bad and say, no, that's not the way we should be doing those things. And you ought to read your Bible. Every day you ought to read your Bible. There's a man came to America from France, and he wanted to find out why America was so great. He went to the politicians, and he said, I didn't find it there. He went to the stores and he didn't find it there. He went to the factories and didn't find it there. This is where he found it. He says, America is great not because of its politics nor its Declaration of Independence nor its Constitution nor its bylaws. That's not where it's great. It's not because of its factories nor its people. It's because in every little hamlet and every little town and every city and great metropolis, there are churches that preach the Word of God, that teach the golden rule. There are churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, that's what makes America great. And ladies and gentlemen, you are in something that makes America great. We believe to keep the law. We believe to be honest in our dealings. We believe in paying our bills. We preach that, and we try to encourage people to do that. We believe that not use God's name in vain. We believe that man needs to live for the Lord. And we ought to raise our children properly. And we believe that we ought to have people to come together and to rebuke and exhort and preach the Word of God. The world is going to hell because some are not keeping up with that responsibility. Our responsibility is going out and telling people about Jesus Christ. Hey, you want to change your community? Win that rabble rouser to Jesus Christ. Years ago, there next to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, there was a group of hippies that lived there, like some of you used to be. And they lived there, and I'm telling you, they were drugging and drinking and loud music. Sunday morning came, they cranked their loud music up, and man, you couldn't hardly. Brother Howe said the windows on the church had just bounced up so loud. Because of that, they had to turn their audio up so people could hear the preacher preach instead of the rock and roll music banging along. And he said there were people trying to say, well, we got to do a law. We have an ordinance. We ought to do this. We ought to do that. We ought to do that. You know, and on and on. And one day, Jack Hiles went over to their house and knocked on the door. And pleasant man told him about Jesus and told him the love of Christ. Next Sunday, there's no sound, no music. That Sunday, a young couple came forward. You could tell the man had just cut his hair because his head was all white. And there was tan around here, but everything else was white. And a young lady had dressed up. And they walked down the aisle and wanted to get baptized. And Dr. Howe said, "Don't I know you?" He said, "Yeah, we're your neighbors." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you came over on Friday and talked to us about Jesus, and we asked Jesus in our heart. And we want to become part of this church." Hey, you know what changes people? Having Jesus in your heart. That changed their whole life. Changed your whole attitude about life. You know what? That neighbor that's giving you so much trouble, and you're pretty upset. I can't remember. I think Jim Holloman and I were talking today. And I said, you know, it's amazing what God said. How in the world God say this thing? One, love your enemy. Do good unto those that persecute you. And I said, and then God said, love your neighbor. And I told him, I said, I don't think the Lord Jesus had a neighbor that had a dog. And we're laughing about that. But isn't it amazing what God can do in our heart? You know, really, we probably need more done to us than our neighbor. Yeah, let's be good Americans. Let's love our neighbor. Let's do good to those that persecute us. Let's be very careful how we act. And when someone gives us a raw deal, let's take it and take it home and barbecue it, amen. One man said, when people start handing out lemons to you, take them home, cut them open, squeeze them, and put some sugar with it and have a little party, amen. Sometimes we as Christians, we're just... Instead of, hey, we can deal with it. Every one of you know how to push people's buttons. You know how to fire people up and make them mad. I don't think that's what the Lord had intended. Let's do what God wants us to do. First of all, let's thank God for living in America. Let's thank God for the freedoms that men and women have died for, our freedoms. See, there's a lot of countries that our men and women go to help them and to try to get them out of their war and all the things. They don't understand that we're doing it out of love. Not we're trying to get more oil, but we're trying to give them an opportunity to live in peace like we enjoy living in peace. But there's always some things in our country that are always raising things up, you know, and always making making what we're trying to do look like we're kind of, what's the word for it, make us look like we're saying one thing and doing another. Bad testimony, of course. Two-faced. But deep down inside, America still wants to see peace on earth and goodwill towards men. I hope today that you'll I know this is not too much of a preachy sermon, but I just want you to remember what you have here in America. I want you to look around for a little bit. I want you to thank God for men back in the 1700s that gave their life. All of them died to give freedom to us, and we're enjoying today. Let's pay back a little bit. First of all, I think you can pay back by knowing the same Jesus as many of them did. That's what changed their life and their course of life. They knew Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. There's a time in their life they'd asked Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and come into their heart. There was a time in their life that they realized there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior very simply, very carefully, by realizing you're a sinner. And that's not too hard to figure that one out, amen? Realize you're a sinner, and because you sin, you have a terrible, terrible price on your head, and it's called hell. And unless you invite Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you will end up there if you accept the gift that He gave to us. I hope today that you do that. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be able to preach the Word of God. I pray today that we would realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And Lord, I pray there be anyone here today that do not know you as their Savior, that today would be that day. And they say, oh God, I know I'm heading for hell. I have not come to you and I have not accepted you as my personal Savior. And I do that today. I invite you to save me. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to this time. Lord, be at the time of invitation. Lord, we do love you and we thank you so much for the privilege that we do live in America, but most of all, the privilege that we are going to heaven someday because of you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. Hey, why don't you today accept Jesus as your Savior? Why don't you come to Christ and say, you know what? I need Jesus today. I need to get saved. I need to know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Why don't you come? I'll be up front. Why don't you come and say, preacher, today, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? You're today to say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Say, today I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Here today and say, preacher, I want to become members of this church. This is where I believe that God wants me to be. Why don't you come at this time? Here today and say, preacher, I want to become members of this church. This is where I want to serve God at. You come.